This is a Storage Switzerland podcast.
When people have issues with performance on a server, the first thing they think about is adding flash to that server for tiering or caching. It's a logical first step. For a lot of companies, these servers are the ones hosting their VMware environments. But is it really that easy to talk about flash and improving its use on your servers? Let's talk with Rich Peterson from SanDisk and Eric Slack, senior analyst from Storage Switzerland. Rich, if you don't mind, I'd like to start with you. When talking about adding flash to the server for tiering and caching, aren't there non-virtualized servers good candidates for server-side flash as well?
Yes, that's actually the case. There are many, of course, in the VMware environments, it's that latency of the I/O between server and storage that's the primary constraint on application performance and VM density. But I/O latency can also be a constraint on certain types of applications running in bare metal environments. And so in those environments, in order to get the most value out of the server CPU and memory and get the greatest performance to the application, the I/O latency should be addressed. And one of the easiest ways to address it is with flash directly installed in the server itself.
Eric, what kind of applications are there that you see running on bare metal servers and why?
Well, hey, Charlie. These can typically be legacy applications that IT doesn't particularly want to move because they're running and they're working. It's sort of the if it ain't broke, don't fix it paradigm. They can also be clustered servers. These are pretty complicated. Even clusters where they're spending quite a bit of money on software to do that clustering. Again, it's a production application that's working, and so they like to leave those. There's also the idea, real or imagined, that people assume that virtualization affects performance. It can in some scenarios and won't in other ones, but these can be servers that performance is important. People can be hesitant to move them over to virtualization. Rich, can you think of any examples of servers that people are hesitant to virtualize?
Sure, yeah. A lot of transactional servers, so mm-hmm. servers that are doing real-time transactions and where the response latency is the critical metric. We'll see a lot of those often not be virtualized. In some cases, it may say exactly what you said, which is it's a legacy application. It's a, if it isn't broke, don't touch it kind of scenario. And quite often with these legacy applications, you'll see that the workload being placed on the application has been increasing over time. You might take a look at a healthcare records application, for example, where patient records used to be relatively small, but as the resolution of medical images gets larger and larger, these patient records can balloon in size. Hmm. And now the question that the IT administrator faces is, how can I improve the performance of this legacy application if I'm not allowed to touch the code itself? How do I fix that problem? And if that's running on a bare metal server, it may be the case that it's really a storage I/O latency issue, and that's one that you could resolve by adding a flash-based cache into the server that's running the application.
Rich, are there any considerations to choosing a flash solution for these bare metal servers? Anything that's different from, say, a virtualized server?
There are some considerations. The first is to understand, what is the metric for performance that you want to improve? Is it the latency of the response time? Is it the number of concurrent processes that can be supported? Is it reducing the batch process time for an analytics application or improving the response time for a real-time analytics application? Those considerations are going to lead you to ask the question as to whether you need to deploy a write-back cache or a write-through cache, which is to say, will you get the required performance improvement by accelerating read operations only, or do you need to address both read and write operations with the cache?
Eric, you recently did a blog on how to address performance problems in virtual environments that talks about looking at other non-virtualized servers, the bare metal servers. And this does seem a little counterintuitive. Can you explain how putting flash into one of these bare metal servers can help the performance on any other server, say a host server in a VMware environment?
Yeah, it does seem a little counterintuitive, Charlie. What we're really talking about here are are standalone servers, like we just mentioned, that, you know, maybe they've got large data sets and significant workloads, that if they're on a shared storage environment, if they're on a SAN, they can really be taking some of the available storage performance from the other systems that are on that SAN, like virtualized servers. So the concept is that running flash-based caching inside a bare metal server, when you do that, you take some of the load off of that shared storage system and essentially are reserving those resources or returning those resources to other servers like the virtualization hosts. And actually, Rich, you know, we just did a webinar with you, and I heard you talk about a customer example that you had where one of SanDisk customers had gotten some significant percentage of performance that there was returned. I mean, a big number that came out of the traffic that was reduced off the network and the storage array. Can you tell me about that, please?
Yeah, sure. So it's basically we're looking at a database application that was highly transactional in nature, and by executing reads and write operations against the solid state storage in the server, about 90% of those IOs were executing in the server against the solid state cache versus traversing the SAN and reaching down to the disk based storage. So in that environment, by using server side caching, they were taking 90% of the I/O traffic from those applications off the SAN and freeing up bandwidth for other applications contesting for that bandwidth. We've seen this in a number of different instances where some large organizations running legacy Unix servers were running on the same storage infrastructure as a whole bunch of bare metal Windows servers. And the Windows servers were taking up a lot of the bandwidth that the Unix servers needed. Now, we're able to accelerate the performance of the applications on those Windows servers, but just as importantly, we were able to reduce the overhead that those Windows servers were placing on the SAN, which freed up bandwidth and improved the performance of the applications running on the legacy Unix systems. So it's a very paradoxical kind of thing, but that's what happens when you're in a shared storage environment.
So, and just to be clear, when you're talking about bandwidth, you're talking about network bandwidth, but also the amount of resources that the storage controller has to divvy up to the hosts that are using that shared storage, right?
That's exactly right, yeah.
Okay. Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Now, you heard Eric and Rich talk about this just a second ago. There is a webinar that Rich did with Storage Switzerland founder and lead analyst George Crump. It's on demand, so you can go anytime to storageswiss.com, and you'll find it there. Or you can do a search for SanDisk, and you can find that webinar. A lot of stuff that they talked about, a lot of great information augmenting what we're talking about on this podcast. Rich, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks very much. I had a good time.
Eric, thanks for being here.
My pleasure. Thank you, Charlie.
And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to the Storage Podcast.
For more, go to StorageSwiss.com.